you pray with me? Holy God, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are the one who strengthens us and redeems us. Amen. Shortly after a recent seminary graduate had assumed his first pastorate, he and his wife went to visit his family. Now, his mother sensed that her daughter-in-law was unhappy, but not wishing to interfere, she pretended not to notice. And as they were leaving, she heard her daughter-in-law say, "All right, we can go by the church and you can practice baptizing me just one more time. But remember this, when you have your first funeral, you're not going to practice burying me." Now, we laugh, but what's interesting, the young wife did not understand that he was already practicing burying her. In baptism, the water represents being buried with Christ. And then we are resurrected to a new life. We are raised with Christ to new life. Baptism is a symbolic death and resurrection for us. And as we stand on the cusp, literally on the cusp of a new year, I think it makes great sense to talk about baptism, although I must admit that for the creators of the Common Lectionary of Readings that we use every Sunday, baptism of the Lord's Sunday is not until the first Sunday after Epiphany, and Epiphany is on January 6th, so next Sunday is going to be baptism of the Lord's Sunday. But I talked it over with Reverend Barbara Aspinall, and she said she was going to be preaching on Epiphany next week, because we will be at Myersville next week. So the worship committee and I decided to celebrate baptism of the Lord today. And I said it's apropos to be talking about baptism day, because you see, while New Year's, or any new year, is an artificial construct to help us make sense of time, it always feels new to us. We have a new year. I'm going to date myself here and say, a blank chalkboard. And for those of you that don't know what a chalkboard is, a blank whiteboard of a year to be written on. And we make lists and we make resolutions of things that we wish to change about our lives, which we talked about in Fourth Sunday Focus this morning. Not that we end up keeping them. But it adds a hopeful ring to the beginning of a new year. Think of the story from Genesis that Tom read the first five verses of. That's the first five verses of the first account of creation, all the way up to 2:4, and then 2:4-3 is the second account of creation. It speaks of newness, a new beginning. God was doing something new. A hopeful beginning for new life, which is very appropriate to New Year's Eve day. And not only that idea of newness, of God creating newness, but we also have the blessing of the promise of God to us through our baptism. Today we heard Mark's account of Jesus' baptism. Now, Mark's account is different than Matthew and Luke and John's. John doesn't really have an account of Jesus' baptism other than he recalls, he remembers when he baptized Jesus and talks about that. Mark's version is very intimate. The voice of the Spirit speaks only to Jesus. In Matthew and Luke, the voice everyone hears. But in Mark, only Jesus hears. And this voice affirms a new creation in Christ. And at this point, the ministry of Jesus Christ begins. At least for Mark, it does. It does not save him from trials. Immediately after our verse today from Mark, beginning in verse 12, the Spirit drives him into the wilderness to be tempted. You see, that's the thing about new life and new creation. The forces of the world, some people might call it the forces of evil, but I think it's just the forces of the world, family, work, friends, strangers, ourselves, we all struggle to keep things the way they were. I should say, they all struggle to keep things the way they were. They and we don't do this on purpose, but it is the only way that they and we know how to relate to us. New creations are frustrating because rules change, methods change, lives change. And this is why so many resolutions fail over a period of time. I recall when my dad died. My life and the life of my family changed dramatically. Not just because we didn't have dad around, but our whole family was missing a puzzle piece. My mother's relationship with my brother and I changed. My relationship with my mother and my brother changed. We were missing dad's puzzle piece. And it was a struggle for a while, for a period of time. Our lives had changed and we didn't know what the new rules were, the new ways were. And we didn't realize until after dad was gone the role that dad played in our relationships. When we were baptized, we or others for us promised that we would be new creations. While we did not hear it, God said to us that we too were His beloved. And He was pleased with us. We are New Age people. God has called us a beloved child. Think about that. A beloved child of God. At our baptism, we were just as new as the creation was in the account from Genesis. What have we done and what will we do with that newness? We know we're not perfect. And I don't even think God is asking us to be perfect because God knows we can't be perfect. We know that we're not what God wants His beloved to be. So what can we do to change that? I firmly believe that one thing we can do is to really hear that phrase for ourselves. You are my beloved. Hear it, not just up here, but down here in your heart. What does it mean to think that way? I'm one of God's beloved. God cares about me. God supports me. And there will be many who will say, oh, no, you're not God's beloved. But if we know that and know those words deep in our heart, it won't matter. It will matter to us, and that's the most important person that it needs to matter to. So, as we stand on the cusp of 2018 and reaffirm our baptism, I want to challenge you to hear those words. I want you to feel the new creation you are and you can be. You can make a difference. You can make a difference for yourself. You can make a difference for others. That's how people of the New Age live and experience life. Always seeing where they can help and support and love and care and nurture. And you will also know that you've been buried and you've been resurrected. That's what the light of the world came to illuminate for us. Jesus came to show us that, to show us in His unconditional love for us and how we can love God back. Jesus Christ came to show us that we are and we can be beloved people of a new age. May God God, give us the courage. And I think it takes courage. The courage to believe that. And I wish you all a happy and wonderful 2018. Amen.